Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you on Sunday, August 20, 2023, Kingsman, The Golden Circle of Friends with Benefits, A Wonderful Life as We Know It Could Happen to You, Only Live Twice in a Lifetime, Cop and a Half, Nelson of Rambo, First Blood, Part 2, For the Road. We were supposed to be at Dynasty Typewriter today, but LA got hit by a tropical storm. In August? What? It's true. So we had to regroup because I'll get into this in a second, but I'll just say for now that the storm has been a bit of a letdown when it comes to massive storms. But we're doing the show on Zoom, and thank you for making the adjustment to my guests, Guy Branum, Renan Hirschberg, and Ricky Lindholm. Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Let's meet each of you individually and alphabetically by first name, which in this case, you're still in the same order, whichever way we do it. So we'll start with Guy Branum. Hey, Guy.
Hello, Doug. I just want to say this is the first time we're talking since you subjected me to Cool as Ice, and I am still just, you know, reveling in that experience. Thank you so much.
It was kind of like going to church that night, because I had never taken the time to watch Cool as Ice, and it was the movie that was selected at the Benson Movie Interruption. Partially my excitement for it was because I had never really sat through it before. The other movies were things I think I'd seen before, some of the other options. But I was just going to say thank you for coming to that show and killing it, you know, with just the right enthusiasm for the movie, but also, you know, trash talking the hell out of it.
Oh, I mean, it was dumb, but it was kind of a better movie than I thought it would be.
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
Yeah, I think part of it, though, is that there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of weird gaps in the dialogue. Like, the pacing of it's very slow. And I think everybody, all of us yelling our jokes in between the lines of dialogue really filled it all in nicely.
It was pure delight.
We're going to do it again. The next Benson Movie Interruption at Dynasty Typewriter is on September 10th. One more thing, Guy Branum. How is this alleged storm treating you so far?
You know, I was really expecting more things crashing through my windows. I mean, I love any opportunity to hunker down and be cozy. But, you know, I canceled a drag brunch for this. And it really feels like I probably could have watched drag without anyone's genitals being blown out of, you know, the places where they are tucked.
Yeah, I think that the... you look out the window now and it's just like, oh, a rainy day in LA. I mean, it's August, so that's weird, but it's also not cold out, you know, it's a tropical thing. So yeah. I assume it's going to get worse, but they keep backing off of their initial claims of how much rain it would be. So we'll see where we end up. Just to be safe, I booked a guest who I assume is on the East Coast. Renan Hirschberg, everybody. How's it going, man?
It's good. Yeah, I'm in New York, so it's actually a really nice day here. I feel bad. I feel guilty. It's like perfect.
This is not that bad at all, to be honest with you.
It tapered out?
Yeah, well, also, though, it is a lot of rain for LA to get in one day, mm-hmm. so the roads are going to suck and the drivers are going to suck even more. But that's
good. Rain is good there, right? According to Chinatown,
we need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we very much need it, but not all at once.
Not all at once, right? Because then people die.
A couple drops at a time, please.
Right.
But thank you for sacrificing a nice day to be inside for an hour.
It's what I do best is sacrifice nice days to be inside. It's really one of my passions.
Most comedians are good at it. It's true. And also joining us from her home is Ricky Lindholm. Hello.
Hi, Doug.
I was doing sound check. I was marveling at how natural and great your microphone sounds. And that, again, just I was startled, like I thought you were in the room with me when you said hello, because you also said it quietly, but we could hear you so clearly.
Oh, good. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a blue Yeti. So. Can I just say that Guy is my favorite podcast guest ever? Like every time he's on a podcast that I listen to, I just laugh and love it. So,
Ricky, stop.
It's so true. You are on a lot of podcasts I love, and I love when you're on there. So I got excited when I found out you were going
to
be.
Hey, if I listened to podcasts, I would laugh at everyone Renan is on. And
I was lacking a compliment there. I was feeling insecure. I appreciate it
for you, buddy. But
I have one favorite. Sorry.
You're like Renan's mic fucking sucks.
Very sad he was on this.
Ricky's is amazing.
Oh my god, with your my question for you, Ricky, is this your child's first hurricane?
Yeah, he's really excited. No,
you gotta watch the Weather Channel and keeping up with what's going on.
I've like fully just turned into a mom. I got so much food and water, and I have a fridge full of water. I don't know, I just got very scared when I normally wouldn't have been. I'm such a mom now. I don't know what happened.
What does he do when you're in the podcast closet?
He's downstairs with my parents.
Oh, perfect.
Yes.
He's so funny if you're like, he's outside right now. Yeah. I just love being a mom.
He's right here. I duct taped his mouth. Yeah.
I just love being a mom. It's great.
He wouldn't be able to be in the room with you without having stuff to say, right? He's getting a little verbal.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember when he came to the last one that I did?
Mm-hmm.
He was backstage and he just melted down. He was screaming in the alley.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad we didn't have to put that. Was part of the reason why I was quick to go along with the idea of canceling today, is I thought you would be like probably bringing your young child with you to the show. And that just seems awful to get a kid in and out of a car in the rain. Mm-hmm. That's just terrible. So we ditched that. We avoided that circumstance. But before we play some games today, I'd like to stroll through Recommendation Nation. That's where I ask each one of my guests to recommend one movie. It can be old, new, borrowed, blue, I don't care. But it just, has to come from you and you alone. Guy Branum, what do you got for us? What can you recommend for people to see?
Okay, so I've been reading Sarah Polley's book, Run Towards the Danger, and in it there is a big meaty essay about how Terry Gilliam almost killed her repeatedly on the set of The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, and it is sort of like a larger contemplation of should we have child actors. But then I went and rewatched The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, and goddamn is The Adventures of Baron Munchausen good. Like, it is just so beautiful, all practical effects. It's so silly and magical. Is it worth putting that many people in danger? No. But it is, like, you know, and Polly has come out and been very vocal about saying, you know, the experiences that I talk about don't mean you can't love that movie. And she talks about watching it with her daughter and processing it in that way. But it, like, it, you know, it is just such an amazing piece of film craftsmanship of a sort that we do not make anymore.
No, it's wild that Terry Gilliam, I mean, obviously he's a bit of a madman, but it just really worked out so strangely that someone who's clearly so gifted at filmmaking, and when everything fell into place for him, his movies would be amazing. That he had, you know, several films where just everything went to shit and was just an absolute disaster.
Well, it's interesting because, like, I think that, like, Oppenheimer has put me on a path of reviewing so many of these movies. Like, I rewatched Amadeus about this idea of sort of, like, you know, white male genius, this thing that we love making movies about that I'm tired of us making movies about. But hearing Polly process this idea of, like, what we put up with because of the idea that this guy is, like, you know, a mad genius. And then, you know, what she tries to do as a filmmaker to make a space where people do not feel like they might die.
Just emotionally. I mean, she's got some really gut-wrenching stuff in her films.
Yeah.
So she's taken it another way. I also think as an actress, she's not only is she terrific in that movie Go, which is a comedy, but then she's also great in that Dawn of the Dead remake that she was the lead running from zombies person. Sarah Polley, ladies and gentlemen.
<She's> here right now.
Little tribute to her. Okay, so that's a great pick. Renan, what are you thinking about?
I've been rewatching a lot of stuff lately, and I was on the plane the other day, and I rewatched Pan's Labyrinth. Ooh, and I was just bawling at the end. I was just like sobbing uncontrollably next to a middle-aged man and a child, and it was I mean, I always liked that movie, but rewatching it, I was like, I feel like this is one of the greatest movies ever.
Did you have an emotional reaction to Guillermo's Pinocchio?
No, but I also haven't seen it, so that's that's not a fault of his own.
I have yet to see it.
I felt nothing about it, but to be fair, I have not watched it. I mean, I love him. I'm going to watch it at some point. But I love him. I love Nightmare Alley. But yeah, Pan's Labyrinth is just it's just such a heartbreaker. You know,
it's a pretty intense fairy tale.
It's like,
yeah, it's just one of those movies where like only someone like him could like make a beautiful fairy tale world, but also perfectly show like the brutality of like reality, like, and evil. And it's just like
there's no in a Guillermo del Toro movie there's no pulling the knife out quickly.
Exactly.
Always has to get shaken around. You know, he really manages to have beautiful imagery and storytelling, but then also I don't think he has a single movie, maybe the Pacific Rim, I think, is the only movie where he doesn't have some image where I look away when it happens, but it's still burned into me.
And it's funny that he made Pacific Rim, which I thought was so kind of like mindless, and then like you know, Pan's Labyrinth, I just think is one of the great, like, I don't know. Classics.
It fits in with his move towards not working with human actors on, yeah, on real sets. So.
I do love that we have go-to actors for, does this movie involve people with horns? It's like, do we have to get someone horns? Call Del Toro. He's not available. Where's Julie Taymor?
Right. And also it's like Adventures of Baron Munchausen. It's like a kid and also like a fantasy world, kind of falling in that theme.
Yeah.
No pressure, like Ricky, but we have a pattern here.
Terrific. It's a terrific double bill, and I'm sure that Ricky has another great movie to add to it.
Well, the movie that I just saw is kind of Sarah Polley's worst nightmare. It's that movie Sisu.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that? Oh gosh, it was good. It was very violent, but I liked it.
How is that spelled?
S-I-S-U. It's like a Finnish movie.
Yeah, it like played in theaters for a moment, and Patton Oswalt was raving about it, so I'm like, oh, this is gonna be violent.
It's really violent, but really good.
What else can you tell us about it without giving anything away?
Well, it's a older gentleman in Finland trying to get past the Nazis when the war is ending. So
that's all,
you know,
yeah,
you want him to win. Yeah. Nazis. He's older. He's like, you know, maybe not in the best of health, and he needs to get home and pass the Nazis. And he, you know, he,
yeah,
he
I get
a lot
now.
Of people. Yeah.
I get the, you know,
simple premise.
It's exciting to watch somebody do terrible things to Nazis.
Yeah,
it is. That's what Nazis are good for. You can have like a brutal revenge movie and no one feels bad for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like even
and he
in
gets
the Blues
women
Brothers.
Involved, all the women that are captured, they get to do bad things to Nazis. It's great.
Even in the Blues Brothers, when they almost run over some Nazis on the bridge, you know, and all the Nazis jump into the water.
Right. Everyone, yeah.
It is like for a moment there, it is like, oh, if they hit these Nazis, they're just murdering Nazis. Like, you know, it's a good thing that bridge was over a, you know, nice little watering spot. Watering hole. So instead you just had a bunch of angry Nazis instead of, you know, all those lawsuits that could have come from it. Sisu, where do you think it's too bad CISO isn't a channel anymore.
Sisu on Sisu.
It'd be fun to see Sisu on Sisu. But how did you see Sisu, Ricky?
iTunes, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is really, that's going to be interesting to see. I take all three movies that people recommend and I put them on the Douglas Movies, formerly Twitter, now that other thing, account. And then, just do a fun little poll. But this is like, I think people that like these movies would be passionate about them. And people who haven't seen them, just seeing them lumped together like this. If you haven't seen one of these three, I haven't seen Sisu. So I'm going to check that one out. All right. Thank you for the recs. We're going to take a quick break. Cause I gotta check the perimeter for leaks because of this torrential rain. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner, Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We are back, and my home is in ship-shape shape. So, nothing to worry about there. Is everybody else nice and dry still?
Yep, still in my closet.
So you wouldn't even know if there was an issue of any kind, really. Because it's probably very, it's almost probably like a bomb shelter in there.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a real sucker. Going. Everyone else is just like hiding in shelter. And I'm just wasting a beautiful day.
It's just so weird. Like, even if it wasn't even if we weren't warned there was going to be like, you know, a potential hurricane, it's still just, you know, in LA, the rain just sort of comes and goes, but you usually don't get like 3 days of buildup to this like we had. So everybody was able to just, you know, make arrangements to just blow off whatever they had to do today. Like, so many people got out of picnics and 5Ks that they didn't want to do.
I mean, is this calling for a Crash remake where it just LA has to contemplate it rains, like where everyone's life is upset in Los Angeles because it rains?
It's a crazy light warm rain right now, so it's like I'm kind of mystified by you know, I don't like to get in with all those conspiracy theorists that say that the government says that the weather's going to be bad so that, to get people to stay home, because I don't see the hurt in people staying home for any reason, really. If you have a home, it's nice to be able to stay in it. Okay, let's play a game. It's one that I just came up with, and it's called One Direction. I will start with Guy Branum.
Mm-hmm.
I will name two actors, and you will tell me, it's multiple choice, you will tell me if they were in a movie together that had the word North in the title.
Okay.
Or the word South. You see where this is going.
Yes.
Or East or West. So you have four options.
Okay.
These two actors were in one movie that has one of those four in the title. If you miss it, then we go to Ron on, and then if he misses it, we go to Ricky. Anytime someone gets one right, the next person gets to go first on the next one.
Okay.
This first one, Guy. Rossano Brazzi and Mitzi Gaynor.
Oh, that's South Pacific. So South.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. That is correct.
Yay.
Guy Branum came to play. I can't think of hardly anyone who's a regular on this show who would have just blurted out, oh, that's South Pacific.
I mean, Doug, you opened with giving the gay guy a Mitzi Gaynor option. Like, I have no idea who Rossano Brazzi was until Mitzi Gaynor as my compass directed me towards him.
Exactly. You know that you met him on some enchanted evening.
You will find a stranger.
So yeah, that guy, I don't know how he gets top billing over the lady washing all the men out of her hair, but that's from the motion picture South Pacific. Renan, are you ready for yours?
Can mine be tailored for my Judaism? Like Judd Hirsch, Jeff Goldblum.
I try not to tailor anything to anyone. I try to write these games without thinking about who's playing. But, okay. Sometimes, you know, the subconscious does what it wants to do. So for this one, you have to tell me East, West, North, or South for the pairing of James Dean and Raymond Massey.
James Dean and Raymond Massey. I guess I'm going to go with East of Eden.
That is also correct. Yay! We got some super geniuses on hand today. I can't believe this.
It was tough. I had three James Dean movies to pick from.
I know, right? Well, just that you even know that much about James Dean.
Rebel Without a North. Giant.
I barely beat you to it. all right. So, Ricky, these two gentlemen.
Oh, man.
They really knocked it out of the park, but I feel like I wrote these for each of you now that I look at this third one. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Aubrey Plaza and Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh, Ingrid Goes West.
That is correct. That should be a TV game show where they just write questions that they think the guests will know. And the writers get points taken away if that somebody misses a question.
That's funny. Because
that is wild how that worked out. So we got to go to a tiebreaker.
This is what's that dating game? It's like you do know us so well. Match, whatever. Yeah.
I did not plan for this way, but it really worked out. The tiebreaker. And this goes to Guy first. So if you get this, you win this game. You know, you don't win anything really, but you get to go first in the next game. So Guy, Elijah Wood and Bruce Willis.
That is the major motion picture North by Rob Reiner. Roger Ebert hated that movie.
He sure did. He said... oh shoot! No, I'm thinking of a different movie now. But there was a movie where Roger Ebert said that if Harry Dean Stanton's in a movie, it can't be all bad. But then there was some movie that he was in. He goes, but in this case, I'll make an exception. But now I can't remember what movie it was. I was just watching it the other day and laughing about that that review. Anyway. Yes, North was a very critically panned motion picture, perhaps best known for its the fact that Bruce Willis is he's an imaginary bunny. He wears a bunny costume. Yeah, and you know, it's just one of those misfiry things. You know, like they put Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Jason Alexander were in it because Seinfeld is super popular, and just didn't work out. That would probably be a good movie maybe to bring to a movie interruption.
Oh.
And Rob Reiner hated it?
He made it.
Oh, but guys, you said he hated it afterwards? Or
Roger Ebert gave it.
Oh, Roger Ebert. Oh, I thought you said the director, Rob Reiner. Reiner. Like, I thought you said he ended up hating it, which I was like,
well,
should have known by the script.
Too fond of it, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
Maybe he thinks it was a home run that was misjudged and underappreciated. Mm-hmm. But I can't even remember. I just remember hardly being able to sit through it. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. it's just one of those movies. It's just such a swing and a miss that it's frustrating. Because mm-hmm. Rob Reiner, for a minute there, he had four or five comedies in a row that were Pantheon, kind of perfect movies.
The best streak. And he had Misery.
Misery.
Yeah. And then when he went off course a little bit, he's still a good, solid director. But then he just started peppering in things that I don't particularly enjoy. And that's what matters. but also a great guy in terms of he's really out there fighting the fight politically. He's he really is his character in All in the Family. Like, he's happy to argue with people.
He has interesting range. He's like, I will only do two things, rom-coms or Stephen King adaptations.
Right. That was the other interesting, just keep making those Stephen King things.
Just goes back and forth.
He should take a crack at another one, instead mm-hmm. of I think the last movie of his I saw was just Kate Hudson and Luke Wilson sitting around writing a book.
Yeah. That sounds like the mix of the two, Stephen King and rom-com. She keeps on interrupting him and he goes crazy.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Congratulations, Guy, for winning that one. That was a real squeaker. Did Guy, you knew it was Ingrid Goes West?
Yes.
And did you, Ricky, did you know it was North?
I knew all of them except for North, which I've never heard of.
Oh, wow. It's like a little Elijah Wood, like when he was a kid actor. Is I think his name in the movie is North. I think. But yeah, I don't remember it that well. Okay. We got to take another break. But when we come back, we're going to play a game that is, it's an old game that I came up with a new version of that I just love. And I'll spring it on everybody after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are back, and Guy Branum gets to go first in our next game. And what does this say? Oh, it's just a segue that I hastily scribbled down. All this rain. See, when I wrote this, it was supposed to be really raining right now. It's still barely coming down. I was also seriously worried about any one of us getting our power, you know, our internet taken down and then the whole thing falling apart, but it hasn't been an issue, and I don't think it will be. But I still want to play, because of all this rain, all this alleged rain, I want to play a game called Purple Rain Man. And this is a game where, as you can imagine from the title, the answer in every round is a mashup title of two movie titles that share a common sound, syllable, or word in the middle, so you can mash them up. And so, like with Purple Rain Man, you would say that the top billed person in the first movie is Prince, and the top billed movie person in the second movie is Dustin Hoffman. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the third billed people. So I'm going to tell you the two people that are third billed. Guy's going to get to go first. And then we'll flip the order, go to Ricky and then to Renan. And if nobody gets it, which, you know, could happen, these are tough, then I'll give you the second build people. So now you have two people from each movie to try to figure it out. And if nobody gets it on that, then everybody will get a shot at the first build people. And the basically, it's the same deal as the last game. If somebody gets one right, the next person goes first on the next one. Any questions?
Nope. No. Sounds hard.
Yes.
It is very hard. They've been doing it, a similar thing to it on Jeopardy, and I've openly accused them of stealing it from me. But I do love it. I do love trying to figure out the two titles. You know, they'd give clues about each of the movies, and then you figure out, you know, what the mashed up title is. Oh, I think they even call it movie mashup. But anyway, this is Purple Rain Man, and Guy, you are up first.
Okay.
Can you think of two films that would mash together with third billed actors Cameron Diaz and Michael Angarano?
I'm going to guess there's something about Mary Full of Grace, because I did not recognize the second person.
I mean, that is a slam dunk guess, but no, that is not correct. Let's go.
Can I ask a question?
To Ricky with a question.
Are you saying the names in the order that the movies are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it.
And what?
Okay, so it's Cameron Diaz and Michael Angarano.
So he was right to, like, a Cameron Diaz movie started his title, but then once he finished it, I ruled incorrect.
Oh, geez. I got nothing.
Okay. Do you have anything, Ron, on?
What is, I can't hear the second name. What is the actor?
Michael Angarano.
Michael Angarano.
He was I'm kidding.
Oh. I mean, I don't know, so I'll just guess Gangs of New York, New York.
See, that is how this game is played. Yeah. That would have been a miracle pull if you had been correct.
Yeah.
But that's incorrect. So we're back to Guy, and he gets two more names.
Can I just first say, Renan, what a great pull for... I am scraping my brain trying to figure out situations where Cameron Diaz would be third billed. And, like, truly, Gangs of New York is a very good pull.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
No, that one was exactly right.
I totally forgot about the third build thing, so I wasn't thinking about that, but I appreciate it.
You just picked a
I forgot that whole
Diaz
part.
Movie out of Bill the Butcher's hat.
But you're right. I guess that would have been smart of me.
All right, Guy. Second build in these movies. So we have Cameron Diaz and Michael Angarano, and then we add Penelope Cruz in the first film and Kelly Preston in the second one.
Oh. Cameron. Okay, so it's Vanilla Sky. Vanilla Sky. Is it called Sky High? Vanilla Sky High.
That is correct. You figured it out.
Oh my gosh, that's hard. Wow, that is impressive.
Well, you know, once you get the Vanilla Sky part, I you were so confident you blurted it out, because if you didn't come up with the second half, you would have helped the next person immensely.
Yes.
But Sky High, indeed, because first build, of course, in Vanilla Sky is Tom Cruise, and top build in Sky High is Kurt Russell, who is fourth build in Vanilla Sky.
All right, he's a cop.
Yeah, so that's fun. I thought he was a shrink.
That's right, he's a shrink. Underrated movie.
That movie's so weird. Maybe he was a shrink that was also
no. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
I want to make clear that I saw Sky High in the theaters.
There's an underrated movie, I think.
Wow, I want to make it clear, I've never seen or heard of Sky High.
Likewise. Sky High is my north for Ricky.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Let me drop some names for you that are in Sky High. In addition to the aforementioned Kurt Russell and Kelly Preston as married superheroes with the son played by Michael Angarano, it's also got Dave Foley, Jim Rash, Kevin McDonald. I want to say Thomas Lennon might be in there. Anyway, it's just got a stacked cast, and it's a really fun movie about superheroes and their kid being in school at superhero school, and he doesn't fit in, and it goes from there.
Wow, and never heard of it.
I that's what I'm saying. That's how underrated it is.
I still think you may be both lying. And fucking with us. It's weird to hear about a movie you've never heard of. It just feels made up. It feels like you're improvising a made up movie.
It really does. But it's a fun movie. I really I recommend it. I'll put that down as my recommendation this week. It's good old Sky High. All right. I just don't think it was that big of a hit with the youngsters when it came out, so then it never really hit with anybody except for nerds that just see everything, you know? okay. Guys on the board. Ricky, you're up first. Third build would be Aaron Eckhart and Robert Beltran.
Oh gosh. Okay. This is really Aaron Eckhart and Robert Beltran. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me think if I can think of something Aaron Eckhart would be third build in. No, I don't have anything. I got nothing.
I like the way
that's hard. That's hard.
Nine.
Once again, I have no idea who that second name is. Really makes it hard when you don't know, when you've never heard of the second actor.
Yeah.
Thank you for not smoking gun.
I Dark Knight Rises bread. Or Smoking Aces 2. But that's incorrect. Guy, any idea?
The only thing I could think of where Aaron Eckhart might be third build is Aaron Brockovich. So I'm going to say it's Aaron Brockovich, the Anya Taylor-Joy movie.
Oh, I forgot the billing part again.
Shit. Correct. Aaron Brockovich. But definitely creativity points on that one. Here's second build, Ricky.
Okay.
Heath Ledger and Kelly Maroney.
The second part's hard. yeah. Dark Knight. There's like how many Knight movies? You know, Night of the Living, Dark Knight of the Living Dead.
No, but I love that guess.
Oh,
I love
thank you.
It very much. Ryan. Right.
So it can be like Knight spelled differently, right?
Yeah, the spelling I don't care about.
Okay. And who are the, I'm sorry, who are the other two actors from the second one?
Robert Beltran and Kelly Maroney.
The Dark Knight Moves?
I like it. The Knight Moves was actually like a 70s movie with Gene Hackman. That
which I just tried to pick a movie.
Nerds like.
I tried to pick a movie that I don't know anyone in, since I don't know any of those actors.
Right.
I have to pick a movie I don't know about.
Yeah. No, that was a your strategy was correct, but it's a different movie you don't know about. Does Guy have a?
I have nothing good. I'm Dark Knight Moves.
Dark Knight Moves.
Yes. Night Moves is some movie from the 80s. I don't remember what it was about.
No, that's what I just said.
That's what he just
said. He just said? I'm sorry. And did she, and did Ricky say Night of the Living Dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
And my ability to think of movies that I did not hear in the last 3 minutes is not. All right. I'm going
to
say it's Dark.
Find out you're not listening, man.
I'm going to say it's Dark Night and Day. And the star, the stars of Night and Day. Who was in Night and
Tom
Day?
Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz.
Yes, I'm saying Cameron Diaz was fourth billed in Night and Day after Robert Beltran.
Incorrect.
My next answer is going to be South Pacific.
All right, Ricky. I don't know if this is going to help you or not.
All right, let's see.
Christian Bale. And Catherine Mary Stewart.
I'm going to say Dark Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, another great guess. That's not right.
All right.
Such a great guess, though.
Thank you.
Well done.
That's top billing, Mary Stewart.
Yeah, Catherine Mary Stewart pulled out the number one slot in a motion picture.
Right.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. I don't know any of those actors on the second one.
I was just thinking today. Sorry to interrupt, but I was just thinking today. This is just such a weird live moment. I was just thinking today about how this horrible storm's hitting. Wouldn't it be weird if we got a California earthquake?
I just felt that.
What's happening right now.
Oh my God.
An earthquake.
Holy
crap. California.
Wow. That was weird. I was like, am I making this up?
Yeah. And now I got my emergency alerts going off.
Whoa. Yeah. We just had it. That was so weird.
Yeah. But I was just thinking today about how, like, the way things go these days, wouldn't that be fucked up if there was an earthquake the same day as a hurricane in California. Everybody that doesn't live here is having such a laugh right now.
Have you ever had an earthquake live on the podcast before?
I've hardly done an earthquake live on anything. I've been like in a comedy club off stage during a quake one time. And every other time, earthquakes tend to happen like middle of the night, early in the morning. I've found living in Southern California for as long as I have. But anyway, back to you.
You were so polite in your interruption. You're like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the world is crumbling right now.
Well, because also, I mean, this recording isn't live, you know what I mean? So we could just take all of this out. I could have just screamed, it's an earthquake, but also it's raining outside, so I'm not going outside anyway. But that was really, really weird. Oh, and also the show Big Brother is taping right now, and they have the cams on. So I wonder if they must notice it because they're in the valley. So they must be hit with it any minute now because it's on like a delay, and it's been like 3 or 4 minutes since it happened, right?
You guys, just a second. Somebody's knocking on my door. Give me just a moment or something. Wow. Fell. Excuse me.
Everything's happening. I wonder if the person knocking on his door is earthquake related. Like, did you feel that?
I bet it is.
Because people love to ask somebody else if they felt it. That was the most exciting part of it for me, was that I just, you know, knew that Ricky and Guy were probably feeling it as well. And we're all in different parts of LA.
It was so weird.
Because did you not notice it until I started saying it was happening?
No, I felt it. And then I was like, is that what I'm feeling? Or is that hurricane? I didn't know if it was winds.
Right.
I was like, the house like shaking a little because it's an old house. I didn't know.
I'm so sorry about that.
Okay. That's okay. What happened?
It was a delivery person who was at the wrong address. No one looks at the physical addresses on things anymore. They just go to where the GPS takes them. And it makes me very mad. I'm an old mad person.
Well, maybe the earthquake just pushed him.
Yeah, just stumbled into your door,
or maybe was asking for shelter.
God bless the guy for even trying to get a package somewhere in the rain on a Sunday. He should get a job at Chick-fil-A and stay home. All right,
here's my
what was happening when we were interrupted rudely by an earthquake.
I was about to have a wrong guess for this.
Okay,
so Nightmare Alley is a remake. I've never seen the original, but since I don't know any of the actors, I'll go with that. The Dark Nightmare Alley.
That's fun.
Sounds like I'm correct from your tone.
Yeah. Wait, let me get the noise. I liked all your guesses very much, but I think I overestimated in preparing for today. Like the, you know, I thought Sky High was like a pretty popular, more popular than I thought it was. And same about this one. The full title is The Dark Knight of the Comet.
Comet?
And it's Night of the Comet is another one that I would recommend if for those who haven't seen it. It's kind of a low budge science fiction-y horror, you know, kind of it's one of those dystopian, you know, downtown LA's deserted, so they shot They got really cool shots of downtown LA when, you know, nobody's there. And it's a pretty enjoyable movie. I haven't seen it in a while, but
all I knew was that Robert Beltran was Chakotay from Star Trek Voyager. So I was trying to think up things with Native Americans in them and I couldn't.
Yeah. And his other big claim to fame is he played the title character in a movie called Eating Raoul.
Oh.
And it was about this couple who, you know, Mary Woronov and her husband, whose name escapes me right now, but it's about this couple who invite this guy over and their whole plan is to, you know, eat him. There's a comedy.
That's like Rope, but worse.
Yeah, exactly. all right. So nobody got a point on that one. And, I haven't felt any aftershocks, so I feel reasonably safe at this juncture to continue on with the game. Is everybody all right?
Yes.
Still in the closet.
I'm fine.
Renan, are you jealous of all this activity we're having?
I've been shaking around here just to feel connected.
Okay,
to
yeah. Just to fit in like an Xbox theater where you sit in a chair and it shakes around and you're supposed to go, wow, I really feel like I'm there. Okay. Good luck to everybody, because these are tougher than I thought they were. And Ricky, you get to go first again.
Oh, man. Can you quickly make up an easy one? No. Okay.
I like to think that the tiebreaker is easy just because I want to make sure we had a winner. But so far, Guy has taken this thing. So you have to get on the board. And we can go through the third build quickly because I really don't think anybody's going to, no bells are going to start ringing until the second build people. So third builder, Thomas Mitchell and Graham Greene.
Pass.
Exactly. Renan.
Pass.
Guy.
Oh,
are you familiar with either of them?
Yes, Graham Greene. I'm assuming. Actually, I'm gonna hold on to it so that I don't get. Okay, I'm gonna wait for the second one. Okay.
All right. Here we go, Ricky. Second bills are Vivian Lee and Jeremy Renner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Gone with the Wind River.
That is
yes.
Correct.
That's hey, it. Look at that.
I just don't know what's happening today. I thought that one was going to be really tough. And then look what happened. First build, Clark Gable and Elizabeth Olsen. Not of the twins. She's just, she's probably got twice the talent because she's all one person.
Really good movie. Wind River is really good.
Right?
Like yeah, really, yeah. Really good underrated movie.
And Graham Greene is like the, is he's a go-to
Native American, you
know, Native American yeah. actor. Like he really fills that role frequently. Twilight movies. turned into a wolf in those. Okay. So that puts Ricky on the board. And so we got to do something about this because we have a tie between Guy and Ricky. And thank you so much for being here today, Renan. I appreciate it.
Oh yeah,
and we'll get your plugs and whatnot in a few minutes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it was an honor, and taking a lifetime achievement award for some reason. I want to thank my parents.
Yeah, you win the Doug Loves Movies Achievement Award. That's what I give to everybody
to the losers. Who's
on a guest for an entire episode. I usually don't. I've only lost guests mid-episode a few times. Okay. Which, Ricky, quick question. I was thinking recently about the times that I've been at a Broadway show and either the famous lead person didn't go on at all, and I, you know, and you don't know about it till pretty much day of. Or I've also seen someone else just come out on stage, like an actor replaced mid-show.
I've seen it three times, and oh, wow. Two of them were on the same day.
Oh,
the same,
wow.
No, they were back-to-back. Like one was Strange Loop right in the middle, and one was Beetlejuice right in the middle.
And who were the lead in each case?
The lead and then someone else. Oh, wait, no, I can't remember. But I remember it happening twice in a row. And then I saw it in Into the Woods in Los Angeles, and it was the witch character.
She just dipped partway through the show?
Yeah, halfway through.
Probably vocal issues, probably.
Yeah, who
That's
knows?
That's crazy.
I know.
Because if so they can't sing those notes that they have to sing, I think they just rather just jump out because the understudies are always ready to go.
Yeah, Strange Loop, it was the lead, and... yeah, this guy had to come out at a moment's notice and do the lead in that like huge show, and he was great. But I was, you know,
I think that might have so been strange. I think that was a recurring issue with that show because that same thing happened to us when we saw it.
Really?
That same guy, just partway into it, which I was grateful to get to see a little bit of him because I'll never forget that, you know, when I saw Wicked, Kristen Chenoweth wasn't in it.
Oh, damn.
And that was a bummer. And when I saw MJ, that guy Miles Frost that won the Tony wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Wait, what if we saw the same performance of Strange Loop?
Did well, what he if that was actually right part of the
I
show?
I think it happened a few times. I think what would happen.
But did it happen right after Inner White Girl? Because that's when it happened in mine.
How long into the show is that?
Four songs, three songs.
Maybe, yeah, might have been. I feel like it was a little deeper into the show than that. How long of a break did they take before starting up again?
10 minutes.
Oh yeah, we were at the same time. No, I don't think we were, because I would see your Instagram would have pictures of you holding up your program.
I don't Instagram in real time though.
Oh, you.
I know.
I was wondering about all your travel pictures were like always like, she's not there right now.
No. I'm a girl, safety reasons. We have things have happened. And so, yeah, I just put up things when I feel like it, and I don't feel pressure to do it in real time. So we could have been at the same show.
That's smart. That's so smart that you do it that way. But I just mean, I feel like I, as friends, I would know if you were in New York at the same time, I would think, but I don't know. Cause I usually text you about shows I'm seeing or something. But anyway, here we go. To determine our winner, who went first in this game? Guy did, right? Mm-hmm. So, Guy, you're back in the driver's seat for the first round. Third build in this movie mashup title are Morris Day and Valeria Golino.
Oh, this is Purple Rain Man.
Yeah, it is.
I would not have gotten it.
That's the really easy one you were looking for, Ricky.
I wouldn't have gotten it. That was good.
Yeah, that's pretty. Which one did you know? I mean, I guess Morris Day gives that away, right?
Yeah, but also I remember the Valeria Golino is that, because we didn't get that many great Valeria Golino performances, but she was the lady in Rain Man.
Yeah, and she was the lady in Big Top Pee Wee.
Uh-huh.
And the kiss that she and Pee Wee Herman share might have been, somebody might have beaten it by now, but at the time was the longest movie kiss.
Yeah.
I also thought you said Doris Day, so I was thrown. She was not in Purple Rain, I'm guessing.
Doris Day was not, but you know, her talent probably was inspirational to Prince and Apollonia and everybody involved. But that's a movie I watched one time with an audience interruption style, and it you know, the concert scenes end up being, you know, a little bit too long. You know, there's not much to say about him writhing around having sex with his guitar, but the dialogue scenes are, it's just gold to talk during them, because they're quite awkward. the people's emotion, it's kind of like, it reminds me a lot of Showgirls, the way that the actors have to do three or four emotions in 15 seconds and nobody working on the movie realizes that's too much to ask of anybody and just looks crazy. Okay, so congratulations to Guy Branum. You get to do your plugs first.
Oh, well, my name is Guy Branum. You can follow me on all social media at Guy Branum. And I don't have anything coming out because we're on strike. So watch Platonic on Apple Plus if you have not watched Platonic.
I think you're terrific on that show, as I've said before, but I'm anti-streamers.
Fair. And I would say, Ricky, where can a person stream, can you stream another period on Paramount Plus?
Yes, you can. Thank you for mentioning that. No. Yes, you can. It is on there now. It's on Paramount Plus.
If you want to see a Guy Branum, Ricky Lindholm re-team, I worked for her on the very great show Another Period that I think we are both very proud of.
Yes, we are. I'm glad you are too. I'm very proud of that. Yeah, watch it.
I just got a residual check for my appearance on that show. And on the check, they write the name of the episode, you know, on the you know, paper attached to the check. And the episode was called Sex Nickelodeon.
Yep, that's right. Beatrice makes an accidental sex Nickelodeon.
It's an accident. This just happens. You slip and make a sex Nickelodeon. And creeps like me and Steve Agee and Andy Kindler show up.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Guy Branum. Let's go to Renan Hirschberg. What would you like to plug, buddy?
Follow me on Instagram at Ranan Comedy, RAANAN Comedy. And I'm touring every weekend for the next couple of months. So there's a link in my bio there and you'll see where I am. Chicago, Tulsa, Vermont, a bunch of other places. So just Ranan Comedy. Give me a follow.
Thank you, Ranan.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Ricky Lindholm, another period.
I'm on Instagram at Ricky Lindholm. I don't Instagram in real time, though. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another period on Paramount Plus and Wednesday on Netflix. But I'm also on strike, so doing nothing.
Yeah, just, you know, trying to get through this thing and get all this stuff we deserve. Like, you know, a great example, I was just talking about residuals. One of those shows that that one dummy, Zaslav, you know, one of the shows that he just, you know, buried, doesn't have to pay me residuals for my work on it anymore because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a shitty move to save what ends up being, you know, not that much money with the kind of money these guys make.
Them deleting shit from the archive is like the worst thing. It makes me infuriating. Just to, like, it's just make
residuals
not accessible.
It's a residual.
How much was your another period check? Do you remember?
Oh, stupid low. Like, you know, because I just was, you know, scene in one episode. So, like, yeah, they get pretty low.
Well, it's everybody really made the same because it was such a low budget show. So. I probably got the same amount.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I've done shows where, like, I've done multiple episodes, and so it's really aggravating when you'll get, like, 30 checks in the mail, and it's all from the same show, and they're all for a penny. You know, it's just like, come on, you guys.
It's sadder to just not send you those.
Yeah, or just send one check for 30 cents. It'd still be very sad, but...
yeah.
Like, it's really like a weird lottery when I get, you know, checks, because it's like, you know, some of them actually still can be decent, but it's a lot of, you know, little pennies. There used to be a bar in the Valley called Residuals, and if you went in there with a residual check that was like, I think it was like under $1 or something, they would, like, you know, give you one free drink. Yeah. And, you know, they stopped that policy after a year or two because, you know, it's just like you could just get one free drink every time you went in there if you're a working actor, because the tiny checks just keep rolling in.
Yeah.
Did I talk to everybody? Yes.
Yeah.
Here's my plugs. Doug Loves Movies is coming to the Brea Improv on August 31st in Brea, California. That's a Thursday night before Labor Day weekend. And then we're back at Dynasty Typewriter on September 16th at 4:20. And, Guy, do you think there's a chance you can join us again next Sunday? Same bat time, same Zoom thing?
I would love to.
All right. So you would love to, but we'll double check and reconfirm.
Awesome.
Later. And, I always end every episode with the last line from a motion picture. And today I chose the movie that Guy knew immediately, South Pacific, from 1958. So, as always, Papa! Papa!
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves.